Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to use that reading out of 1 John chapter 3 as a text today. And just to repeat that one phrase, that we are called children of God, and we are. There's a feeling about Christmas that kind of combines two things. One is the anticipation of what you're going to get, and just thinking through the fun you're going to have with whatever that toy is in that package. The other is kind of the frustration of having to wait for it, to shake the package and to try to guess what is there. In my family, and I've told you this before, but we had a tradition that we could open one present early. So the night before, we would open one present. We could pick out the one that it would be, and then we would have at least one early toy, and then we could see the others later on. There is a sense to the Christian religion that kind of combines those two traditions. We have a feeling that we're waiting for all the good stuff, because in heaven we joke that we can eat all the fatty food we want and we won't gain weight and we can have all of our health back and our aches and pains will be gone, and we look forward to all the stuff that heaven's going to be. But our text also gives us a present that we open early, and that early present actually describes the message of the Christian church in all that we do. We are called children of God, and we are. Every message a church has to give is caught up in this phrase, children of God. We are not vaguely in search of some treasure that we only can dream about that we'll never have until we die. We are in possession of that treasure right now because we are children of God. Most of the time, that's really all we need. We see the troubles of the world swirl around us, and though we may be troubled by them, we are okay because we are children of God. And even if we can't always understand, we still believe that God loves us because we are His children, and most of the time, that is all we need. We are anchored. We are strong. We endure. We are secure. Our God has power. Our God has awesome power, and we know He watches over His children, and we know that we are His children, but every now and then we drift. Those are the times when the anchor seems fragile and about to break, and we have a dozen questions of God about our life and about what's going on. Like, why is this happening? Or how are we supposed to go on? Or what are we supposed to do now? Or where should we go? And we run out of energy and we feel like we're running out of hope and light, and the tears begin to fall. This text was made for that moment in your life. Store it away. Put it in some pocket in your mind so that you can take it out when you need to know that you indeed are a child of God. Our children run to us and they are in tears over some difficulty that has gone on in their life. And through generations, we have held them close and we have said these words over and over again, it's all right. It's all right. And even if we do not believe it ourselves because we're troubled by whatever has made them cry, even though we say it to them because it's the words parents have used for generations to soothe their children, you are a child of God doesn't answer any of those questions, doesn't tell you where you should be, doesn't tell you what you should say, never explains why things are happening around you, but there is a power in that little phrase that can move mountains of despair in those difficult times, and I want to take a moment to see what it means that you and I, we are children of God. We believe in original sin. We believe you are born sinful and born with the capacity to commit more sins, but even so, when you are young, there is an innocence about how you see yourself in life, and there is a pureness because you haven't had time to do all those sins that build up that layer and load of regret that you carry around for you. And you sometimes, when you look back over those early years of life and over the silly things that you did and the fun that you had, you can almost long to be back to that kind of pureness, or at least that sense of not having that burden of sin. If you are a child of God, is that what you get? Do you get to go back to being pure again? Yes, I believe that's what it's all about. It's the one thing the world cannot seem to understand. They know the facts of Jesus, very well known, and yet they cannot seem to understand what treasure we have. And sometimes we struggle to see how it could be true. Could God give us a gift that could take us back to before we had the regret, before we said the wrong thing, before we did the wrong thing, before all those thoughts that run through our mind had built up into the thousands and then the tens of thousands, could God give us back to the time when there was no sin? Can we stand before God from that day forward and be able to speak with Him day or night and be someone who is without sin? Understand that this cannot be understood. Where we are with God has to be a gift from God. Has to be a miracle that is beyond our understanding. God has gifted you with forgiveness. And every time the Bible describes forgiveness, it's always all or none. God wipes away all of your sins. The blood of Jesus Christ covers all of your sins. God forgets all of your sins and remembers them no more. I know you don't stop being a sinner. There's a mystery that's beyond our understanding. We stay a sinner. We have ample evidence of that. The things we do and the words we would like to call back, they multiply over and over in our lives. And yet the children of God are not almost there. They're not partially righteous. The children of God are holy and pure, and you are a child of God. When I was young, I loved to read. I just loved to read. I am prejudiced somewhat, but I believe if you can instill in your children when they're young a love of reading, it makes school easier. And I would sometimes run across some little phrase or a poem or something, and it intrigued me, so I would memorize it. And I love to memorize little things like that just for the sound of it. And I would many times go to my mother. My mother had 5 other children besides me, so I'm sure she didn't want to spend all her time doing this. But I would hand her the book, and I would want to say it back to her because I had memorized it. Only I didn't call it memorizing. I would run to her and say that I learned it by heart. And all I meant was I could say it back without looking at the book. But I have found decades later that I have forgotten thousands of facts I thought I knew, and I still remember those things I learned by heart when I was just a young boy. It seems like learning by heart was more than just being able to say back the facts. They were buried into a deeper part of my memory, and they stayed secure. The way God gives you the gift of forgiveness is very important. We do not just know the facts about Jesus so we can say them back to God. We get to learn them by heart. We're given a faith the Bible describes as holding on to us. So that in times of trial, the Bible says, in times of trial when your faith ought to suffer, the Bible says your faith grows stronger. And when you are connected to Jesus Christ by faith, the Bible says you are a new creation. People have said to me that they have a worry that they may become incapacitated, that there may be a time when they're unable to either be alert or awake or unable to remember the words of Jesus. There are medical conditions that put people in a coma or put them out of commission, and they worry, how will they know enough to believe in Jesus Christ? And that's when we need to understand that the power part of faith is that God has learned you by heart, that God is hanging on to you. And the promise from God is that He will not let go of you. So when those sudden events threaten to shake loose your connection to God, you stay secure because God doesn't lose His memory of you. God does not lose His power or His concentration. I know there are many people who would give advice on what you should do. And some of that advice is good advice. I'm not saying you shouldn't take it. But I have had the privilege of walking to the valley of difficult times with many of you. Times when your faith should have been tested and rocked to its very core, and I've seen you get stronger in those times. I've seen you stand in those times and tell me, you know God has a purpose. You know God is watching over you. You know God is hearing your prayer. And when I should have expected to hear despair, many times you are the one telling me victory, because when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your faith does not let you down, and it carries you along. What I see in this text is not a description of what you need to do to be ready for your next disaster. I see a description of what God has already done. God gifted you with an enduring faith. You know Jesus by heart. What you need to survive, whatever problem is coming your way, what you need to endure, whatever burden that has weighed you down at this moment, what you need has already been placed into your possession. You are a child of God. What you will be has not yet been. We speculate on what heaven is, and I don't know everything that will be there. But we know that glory waits for you. And we know that heaven is held in reserve. And in the illustration that Jesus gave on death, angels sheltered that man's soul into heaven. And I believe there will come a time when angels will meet me on some occasion, and they will carry me to heaven. And the same will happen to you, because you are a child of God. And in that moment, every tear will fall away. Even the silent and invisible ones that you cry inside, even those will disappear, and you will walk in absolute purity and holiness, and then you will not be saint and sinner, you will just be saint, because you are a child of God, and heaven is your home. Until that moment, when time stops, and the Lord comes back to change everything, you are, at this moment, a child of God. That is who you already are. You are the one John is talking about when he uses a phrase that is so endearing. You are the beloved of God. Out there where you feel stranded and all alone and abandoned, understand that God is your Father, is reaching out to you to pull you close, and he would tell you, you are his child. And this is what parents do for their children. They find them when they're lost. You are a child of God. I was wrong about this text. It is not one to hide in some back pocket of your mind until you have an emergency. It ought to be a banner that flies over every moment of your life. It is my belief that the things that make life what it is not measured in days or weeks or even years, but it's the moments of your life that bring you the joy, and it's the moments of your life that bring you the happiness. It's moments of your life that lift you up. Even in dark days, there are moments when you can look around and understand that the hand of God is there. And it seems to me that is the banner you should fly over the days of your life, that you are a child of God. It is not a boast. It is not a plea. It is a reason to find joy in every one of those moments, because you and I, we are the children of God. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen.